Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the fifth day of November 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting in Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, will be here too. And we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Along the way, I'll urge you to pick up your tickets right now for the Farm Assets Conference. In fact, that's 800-898-1065, regular business hours for the 800 number, or online anytime you'd like. WillAg.org, FarmAssetsConference.com. Should be a great program at the end of this month in Normal, Illinois. Do not miss this one. A fantastic agenda to see all the items online at FarmAssetsConference.com. Oh, and we'll take up the agricultural news for the day, too, as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for a Thursday. December contract in the corn pit down 6 cents at $3.74 and a half. The March 5 and a half lower, 3.82 and three quarters the settlement price. May down 5 and a quarter. July down a nickel. September down 4. December of next year, 4 lower as well. 4.02 and a quarter the last trade there. Soy complex, November beans down 14 and a quarter, $8.67 and three quarters, the final trade. January at 864, down 20. The March at 866 and a quarter, 20 and a quarter lower. The May down 20 and a quarter at 871 and a quarter. And July down 19 and three quarters at 877. November beans of next year at $8.74, 15 cents lower. Bean meal futures off $5.40 today at $296.40. Bean oil 27.83, down 67 cents. Wheat futures in the December unchanged at $5.26 and a quarter. July down 4 and a half at $5.27 and a half. July hard red at $5.21 and three quarters, 6 and three quarters lower. Feeder cattle at $102.60 in the November finish, $3.55 lower. January down $4.17 and a half at $173.50. December live cattle down $1.97 and a half at $135.25, and February is at $137.62 and a half. We're down $2.02 and a half. Lean hogs in the December, $1.47 and a half lower at $55.90. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WillAg.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Checking up on some of the outside markets, crude oil for the day, $1.09 lower at $45.23 a barrel. Ethanol futures up 0.4 of a cent at $1.50 and 8 cents. Gasoline on the wholesale price, the RBOB, at two and six tenths of a cent lower, $1.36 and a half the trade. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.48 and 7 cents. That's a penny and 6 cents lower. And natural gas at $2.37 and a tenth, down, or rather up, a dime and 9 tenths of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average 9 points lower at 17,778. The U.S. dollar at 98.04. That's up 0.01. And gold futures for the day at $1,104.25, down $1.95. The weather forecast for this evening says we'll see some showers, thunderstorms, all before 4 a.m., and then showers are likely for the day tomorrow. Low of 54 tonight. It'll be breezy on a 15 to 20 mile an hour wind after midnight. They'll gust at 28. Chance of rainfall in the area set at 90%, and then we'll start to clear out after we get into the daylight hours. Mostly sunny, a high of 58. North winds at 14 to 16 tomorrow, gusting to 23. Friday night, mostly clear and a low of 39 degrees on a north wind at 5 to 7. Saturday, sunny skies and 54. Sunny on Sunday and 52. Sunny on Monday as well to start the work week and 54 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. You can always get the weather forecast for ag up on our website at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It is the 5th day of November. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, inviting you to visit our website for the Farm Assets Conference. That's farmassetsconference.com. If you don't remember that, just go to willag.org. I know I say that enough that you ought to be able to remember it. To purchase your tickets at the end of this month, the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving, it's November the 24th, when the Commodities Conference has been in the past. We'll be right there in the same place, actually just after the Illinois Corn Growers annual meeting. We're taking their spot for that day with the Commodities Conference, and we have a fantastic lineup. We'll take up big data. You've heard a lot about that in the last week, week and a half, out of Washington, D.C., and from John Deere and Monsanto. In fact, we'll have Monsanto Group's Climate Corp Ag Services Vice President John Jansen on hand to talk about, I'll bet he'll say something about the things that have taken place this week. But mostly, we want to know really how it works and how protected the data is. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about nutrient losses and management of that, maybe some regulatory problems. We've heard a lot about the waters of the U.S. recently. A different subject area might be regulation that could take place of farms in a different form for nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus and such. That's happened out to the east. It's happening to the west of us. So the question is, what will happen in Illinois? We'll discuss that. And of course, we'll have a whole set of analysts with us, including a couple that you hear on the air, one of them every day, Sue Martin, and the other one, Jerry Gulke, will be down. We hear him occasionally, too. Unfortunately, Dan Zwicker won't be with us on that day. Dan, I'm sorry that you're not able to make it up from Waco, Texas, but I know that you will be with us for the All-Day Ag Outlook, and I just set the date for that yesterday. So you have your calendar out and you're ready to write it down, Dan, so you can be here?
Yeah, give it to me.
All right, I've got it. It's Tuesday, March the 8th.
Tuesday, March 8th, okay.
Tuesday, March 8th at the Beef House.
Okay, I'll be there with my cowboy hat on and my boots.
Hey, well, that's what you do in Waco, Texas, and then you spur everything along. Boy, yeah. It would be nice to be.
I do wear a hat down here. Probably the average guy wouldn't recognize me down here, so I wear a hat and I got boots. But hats down here are about half and half. We have a lot of baseball caps, and then of course you do have the cowboy hats, and I do wear cowboy hat when I do want to wear one.
Anyway. Actually, I have to admit, when I call you up, because I think this comes from maybe your Facebook page, I don't know, but I, for those who don't know, when I'm on the air, I actually use Skype to make all the phone calls, and it pulls your Facebook page. I think it pulls the photo from your Facebook page, so I've got you and your cowboy hat looking at me right now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get another picture taken. I've been losing some weight here over the past couple of weeks. So I'm going to look a little thinner the next time I take that picture. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to get my weight down significantly. I had my gallbladder taken out last week, so I'm on a no-fat diet. And it's amazing how many pounds you can shed if you can stay away from those fatty foods.
Yeah, I know. I did that myself, 37 pounds for me, but I walk a lot, every day about an hour or so, only 3.5 miles, but I pay a lot of attention to what I eat as well. You get used to it. I've done down here for almost 3 years, so it's possible. It's possible. I still eat all the time. I just eat better foods most of the time. Hey, speaking of losing, boy, did we lose in the soybean market today. I thought maybe things might turn around at some point, but they just didn't manage that. Why do you suppose that was the case? Just no
buyers?
Well,
it was probably a combination of things. I think, number one, you know, the dollar has been strengthening this week, and we're right up against the August highs. Janet Yellen, you know, she's almost starting to sound like a market analyst. You know, one day she's talking about raising interest rates, and the next day she's talking about going to negative interest rates. So, yes. So it tells me that she doesn't know what she wants to do. And I think while I know the trade has been anxious for a raise in interest rates, I just politically don't see that happening. If it did, it would, we're talking about 0.25%, and I think that would be the only move that they would make. I just also visualize her raising interest rates during an election year. I just, if you know, I've watched the Fed ever since I got into this business, and for the most part, the Fed likes to get to the back seat during a presidential election year. They don't want to be the target of politicians talking about the Fed. So I really don't think there's much chance of the raising of interest rates. The dollar is finding strength from other sources. I read an article here yesterday that Germany's at the point of possible civil war with all of the immigration problems they're having in Germany. So, you know, there's all kinds of other issues out there that are making the dollar go stronger. I don't think it's really prospects that the Fed's going to raise interest rates. But that push, that's generally a negative influence when you have the dollar strengthening. The other thing is, if I read in between the lines correctly, the election that's going to happen in Argentina, whoever wins the election, they're basically both going to somehow lower the export tax. So that is kind of going to open up the gates then for more inventory from Argentina to move into the world market. So maybe that is one of the reasons why soybeans was able to take it on the chin so hard here today, being down 20 cents. And then the other thing is the trade was expecting to see a very hefty number, export sales number, something up around 1.7 million tons. Instead, it came in at 1.2 or 1.3, which is still very strong, but it was only two-thirds of expectations. So the trade had reasons right out of the chute here at 8:30 to kind of pressed the soybean market lower, and then I think that it kind of fed on the south. But I think that's part of it. The other thing is that in some of these high-yielding areas where soybeans were able to go 65 bushels or 70 bushels, I'm hearing more and more farmers willing to cash it in and take their money and run and just get out from underneath the soybean business at a break even or a small profit. So I think we're seeing some of that. Corn kind of went along for the ride to the downside, a nickel here. Like I said, if you look at the futures chart, everything on the futures chart, there's really nothing to really whistle Dixie about. But if you get over and look at Central Illinois cash corn, all of a sudden, you've got an altogether different-looking cash chart. I mean, we basically had a double bottom kind of in the, right after the August crop report, and then it challenged that bottom there after the September report. And then we've been in a sideways to higher trend. And now, today, we lost a nickel on the futures, and we maybe only lose a couple pennies maybe on the cash market. But we've come... we're up to $3.75 or so on Central Illinois cash market. Some of the processor markets, ethanol guys, you can maybe squeeze $4 out of them. So we have seen a pretty good rally in corn. Of course, $4 cash corn, again, depending upon what your yield is, a lot of guys can crawl out of the hole and make that one scour and get out of dodge on that. So I think we're starting to see farmers do that in some areas, just kind of call it a year and get on with it. The other thing is that we have a lot of grain companies have promoted a lot of these accumulator-type cash contracts with min-max averaging type thing, and I think we've got a lot of inventory signed up into those programs, and that's being priced daily. So I think... you know, for the most part, the corn market is holding together awfully well. I know the futures market doesn't look too good, but I don't see anything there to jump off the cliff yet anyway. Soybeans is more of a rounded type bottom. We haven't really done too much in soybeans. It's been more pronounced in a sideways trading range. I look at my seasonals. I still see opportunities for this market to to put together some kind of rally here, I'd say, you know, middle part of December, give or take 30 days, so it could go into maybe mid-November, maybe go into mid-January. But I think there's still some pricing opportunities ahead of us in here before we maybe go into the winter doldrums. So I haven't totally given up on some form of price strength that maybe give everybody an opportunity to peel off some inventory and maybe get in a little better shape than what they would like to, you know, or, you know, going to start the new year. So, yeah. But like I said, there's fundamentally everything looks bearish. Big crop, demand's not very good. You know, you got the livestock markets now under pressure. I guess, you know, that's a perfect example of cheap corn prices leading to cheap meat prices. We'll just have to kind of go from there. But I think the soybeans probably was a combination of the Argentina situation, projections of the big crop out of South America, and winding down of soybean harvest in the Western Corn Belt.
Mm-hmm. We'll let you talk a little bit more during Commodity Week. I'll call you in about 40 minutes or so.
Very well.
Thank you so much. That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, just a day after Senate Democrats blocked a bill to repeal the Environmental Protection Agency's Waters of the U.S. rule, Senate Republicans have passed a congressional veto of WOTUS. The Senate needed a simple majority for passage and voted 55-43 to pass a joint resolution of disapproval, or what's called a congressional veto. Here's the author of the new measure, Iowa Republican Joni Ernst.
This rule is so complex and so ambiguous that folks in my state are concerned that any low spot on a farmer's field or a ditch or a puddle after a rainstorm may now fall under the EPA's watch.
That's versus 0.3% of land under federal control right now. The House is also expected to pass the veto resolution, which will then face a likely presidential veto. It will take a two-thirds vote of each House to override the president's veto, a threshold unlikely to be reached, and which leaves a rider on spending bill or years-long court fights as the most likely remaining option to end the rule. We'll stay in Washington, D.C., where yesterday a House Agriculture Committee held its first in a new series of hearings to examine the relationship between agriculture and national security. In the opening hearing on Wednesday, members and witnesses examined the threats and vulnerabilities to agricultural security and the economic significance of those threats. Ranking Member Colin Peterson said a strong agricultural sector and stable food supply is critical to the national security arena. Meanwhile, Committee Chair Mike Conaway of Texas said the bottom line is that a nation that can feed and provide for itself is inherently safer than a nation that cannot. Committee members recognize the challenges faced by American agriculture and the need to build a stronger coalition among rural and urban interests. Conaway said that coalition needs to support agricultural policies and understand the role U.S. agriculture plays in maintaining a strong U.S. economy and stability around the world. On that note, Wisconsin Congressman Ron Kind, along with Representative Jen Sensenbrenner of Minnesota, introduced the bipartisan Assisting Family Farmers Through Insurance Reform Measures, or AFFIRM Act, today. The AFFIRM Act makes bold reforms to crop insurance premium subsidy payments, and according to Congressman Kind, the bill saves taxpayer dollars and promotes transparency.
Right now, under the current crop insurance program, we guarantee these large crop insurance companies a 14% profit margin. They bear virtually no risk. When the claims come in, the taxpayers pay it, and it's a needless expenditure of taxpayer dollars that doesn't make sense.
The bill would reduce the profit margin from the current 14% for crop insurance companies down to 9%. Kind calls the current crop insurance system extremely wasteful and in need of major reform. The Congressional Budget Office estimates the AFFIRM Act will save approximately $24.4 billion over the next decade. Kind explains what's next for the bill announced.
Well, this could get wrapped up into the end-of-the-year budget. But naturally, when you have any reform to the Farm Bill, the Agriculture Committee would have jurisdiction over it. They could try to slow walk it, but I can also offer an amendment on the floor and have the whole House consider it. And that's where the dynamics get real interesting, real fast.
The legislation comes just a week after a GOP leader agreed to a budget deal that includes cuts to crop insurance, but also agreed to address the cuts in a later spending bill. Just a few more items for the day. We'll step out of Washington now. The American Seed Trade Association and the China National Seed Association recently extended a memorandum of understanding to promote cooperation on mutual priorities for the seed industry of each country. The MOU, signed on October the 27th at the CNSA office in Beijing, extends the original agreement for 3 years and creates a coordinating committee of company representatives to track progress and work to ensure future programs align with the MOU's goal. This MOU is another important step forward in strengthening the relationship and opportunities between the U.S. and Chinese seed industry, says ASTA President and CEO Andy Levine. In extending this agreement, he says both parties are reaffirming the value and need for cooperation toward achieving mutual economic goals. Since the signing of the original MOU back in December of 2012, the two organizations have held half a dozen successful events to promote intellectual property rights, high-quality seed, technology transfer, and science-based phytosanitary measures. And if you didn't understand all of those words, you might go to agglossary.org. It's becoming a bit of a stronger source. Significant new contributions to Ag Gateways, agglossary.org, this year have boosted the usefulness of this important open industry resource, with the number of validated terms now reaching more than 5,500 for agriculture. The glossary, launched last year, is available for free use by anyone in the agriculture industry and is designed to promote efficient and effective communications between all segments of agriculture, including industry, government, and academia. It's a one-stop location in the format of online wiki for agricultural terms, definitions, acronyms, keywords, and synonyms. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Matt Bennett now joins us to take up the agricultural cash grain market. He is in Windsor, Illinois, and with Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting. Matt, thanks for being with us. Tell me what you've been hearing from your clientele and from Monsanto and other places about the business of agriculture this week.
Well, you know, obviously this market today wasn't exactly the best thing we've seen for a while. Yeah, it's been nice to see the huge soybean demand here in the last couple, 3 weeks, but we come in today with some poor export numbers, and I think it's been kind of a telling sign recently with the huge export demand, shipment sales. You know, we just really haven't been able to ride the bean market much, so I wasn't too surprised with the drop today. But I think a lot of people are kind of in a wait-and-see mode, especially with corn, kind of hoping, if you will, for some sort of a corn rally, and you know, that's a pretty tough deal because none of us know exactly what's going to happen there.
And your thoughts on where the soybean market is headed?
Yeah, I think as far as soybeans go, there's probably no doubt that we're going to come up a little bit on U.S. supply. I think world supply might grow a little bit as well. As far as corn goes, I think world supply might be off a little bit, but U.S. supply is anybody's guess. We've seen anything from 165 to 170 plus, so I personally would be at the low end of that range, but that, you know, I've been wrong for 3 straight reports, so I may as well go for 4.
4 for 4. Hey, is there any reason to think about marketing any soybeans?
Well, we're kind of waiting just a little bit, you know, with the insurance. We're 15 cents or more under the insurance price from last year. And, you know, our input costs are pretty much steady, so I don't know that I want to get in a big hurry at this point. So really not pushing a whole lot as far as beans go. If we could get you know, beans back over $9, we probably would be looking at making a few sales as long as it's a profitable place for producers, because not everybody's saying that they can make money there, unfortunately. If they're in a wait-and-see mode, you know, as far as corn goes, on up days, they probably ought to be looking maybe at some sort of a selling some call premium, just something to manage some risk if they're going to hold on to a significant amount of bushels.
And finally, best set of advice for producers right now as they look towards the end of the year.
Again, I think that if they're not going to do anything as far as marketing goes, they really need to be looking closely at what they can do, maybe to minimize the loss if the market goes against them. I think with corn and beans both, I mean, you're looking at a fair amount of farmer ownership, much more so with corn than with beans. But, there's a lot of chips on the table, and we've got to do something to manage some of that risk.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois, back in 2 minutes.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
It's Donut Day. The arrival of donuts in the U.S. has a disputed history. One theory has Hanson Gregory inventing the ring-shaped donut in 1847 while traveling aboard a lime trading ship. Another theory points at archaeological evidence that donuts were prepared by prehistoric Native Americans in the Southwest. On this day in agricultural history in 1854, Paul Sabatier was born. A French organic chemist, he researched catalytic organic synthesis. The margarine and methanol industries grew out of his research. In 1893, Raymond Loewy was born. An American design engineer, he designed the Coca-Cola bottle, the 1934 Sears Cold Spot refrigerator, and toothbrushes, among other items. But he is perhaps best known as the father of streamlining for his work on a number of automobiles, including the 1947 Studebaker Starlight Coupe. In 1963, Viking ruins were found by archaeologists in Newfoundland, dating back to around the year 1000. Most historians believe that Leif Erikson, second son of Eric the Red, was the first European to reach the New World, some 500 years before Columbus. And in 2000, David Ross Brower died. Brower was the founder of many agricultural organizations, including the Friends of the Earth and Earth Island Institute. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the 5th day of November. Let's turn our attention to the weather forecast with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, let's not start here in the Midwest, but in South America, where they have part of a soybean crop planted, corn too. Can you tell me about conditions on the ground?
Well, planting is a little bit behind schedule at the moment. We had some fairly dry weather in the key northern soybean areas of Brazil for the first half of October. That kept planting a little bit slow, and as we go forward, we're going to see another period of dry weather coming up. Now, normally we would be a little bit concerned about that because anytime you get long periods of drying in Brazil, it's unusual. Their climate turns much wetter each week through January, so anytime you have a 1 week or 2 week period with limited rainfall, it starts to raise your eyebrows just a little bit. But all of that being said, the last 2 weeks were fairly wet in this area that did not receive rain earlier in October. Because of that, the upcoming period of drying should help planting to accelerate as we get into the second half of next week. So by the time you put all of this together, we don't think that planting will be all that far behind schedule, say in 7 to 10 days from now, as compared to where we are today. Also, last year, we also had a sluggish planting season for a number of reasons, but the yield and the size of the overall soybean crop and corn crop turned out to be just fine in Brazil. So that just shows you that even though planting is an important component of crop production, it's not the only component, and we can still get out of this situation, and it looks like we will, at least in the near term, given that some of these areas that, again, are behind on planting will turn a bit drier going forward, and they won't have major rainfall deficits once we get into the middle of the month. So that's pretty good news if you're a farmer in Brazil. Same thing in Argentina. Argentina, there's not really a whole lot happening. It was wet earlier in October. Now it's drying out. Temperatures aren't too far from normal, and we just think that we'll start to see planting begin to accelerate there too. So South America right now, we're just not seeing any red flags at the moment.
If you bring yourself back here to the United States, can you give us a quick update on the weather forecast, the warm weather we've had, and what conditions will be like? Rainy, I suspect.
Well, it will be rainy across the eastern half of the Corn Belt and into the Delta. That includes the key soft red winter wheat areas. And some of these areas still do need rain, especially around southern Illinois. So some of these areas will receive some needed rainfall, and we won't see dryness being as much of an issue for the winter wheat crop. Now, keep in mind, this is a quiet time of the year, so we're talking about real minuscule things at this point. Winter wheat weather becomes much more important once we get into next spring and even into the early part of next summer. So at the moment, there's not really a whole lot happening. Temperatures thus far have been far above normal in November, and they've been far above normal dating all the way back to around September 1st. We suspect this is largely due to the strong El Nino that's developing. We often have mild winters when we have a strong El Nino, and this certainly seems to be fitting what we would expect. And we just think the mildness is going to be a recurring feature of the next several months.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Tenora with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.